Good morning. Good morning. We begin today's daf Tesvav in Maseches Bava Metzia by thanking all of our sponsors. We thank the Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Adar Sheni, the Schwartzbaum family. We thank them for sponsoring all the shurim in memory of Aaron Schwartzbaum, Aaron Yosef Ben Meir, May his neshama have an aliyah. We also thank Leah Sol for sponsoring all the shurim of the month. In the zechus of her daughter, Ilana Bas Esther, successful surgery and complete refuah shlema, and for a safe return of all of our hostages. We also thank Maya Hoffman for sponsoring all this year of this month in memory of her father, Reuven Ben Emmanuel, and the merit of the hatzlacha, health, and joy of all of her family, Shulamit, Avram, Mariasha, Tzivia, Barak Rafael, and Dora. We also thank Yoel and Sarah Kelman for sponsoring all the show of this month in honor of the birth of their son and in memory of Staff Sergeant David Sassoon Hashem Yim Kamdama, who was only 21 years old, who was killed fighting in Gaza on March 6, 2024. We thank Adam Planka for sponsoring Daf Yomi today in commemoration of the upcoming yard sites of Moshe Ben Amram, Moshe Rabbeinu, on Zion Adar. He also sponsors Daf today in the schos of the yard site of Moshe Ben David, who's Moshe Feinstein, on 12 Adar, and also the Zechus and Leila Nishmas Shmayo Yosef Chaim Ben Yaakov Yisrael, who's Reb Chaim Kanievsky, whose yard site is on the 15th of Adar. Let us begin today's Daf Tesvav. Just quickly recapping what happened yesterday. So yesterday, on the top of the Amud, there was a statement made by Shmuel. Shmuel said as follows. Quickly just read it inside. It's five lines from the top. It says, Itmar amokar sada lechavero, v'nimtza she'enu shalom. Person sold the field to somebody else. Turns out it wasn't his. So this is the good old expression, he sold him the Brooklyn Bridge. Person sells something that doesn't belong to them. So there was a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about what happens with the buyer of the Brooklyn Bridge, the buyer of that property, when he goes back to the seller to recoup his money. So we're going to skip to Shmuel Omer. Shmuel says, Ma'os Yeshlo. He can obviously go back to the seller. The buyer of this property can go back to the seller and say, you sold me a field that wasn't yours. I'd like to have my money back. That obviously makes sense because you bought something from somebody who had no right to sell it. So therefore, give the money back. The question just is, how about the investment that this person, that this lokeach, this buyer has invested into the field? Can he get that money back? So Shmuel says, Ma'os yeshlo, shevach einlo. He cannot get the shevach. And the Gemara explained, the reason why he can't get the money that he invested into it is because it's going to look like ribbis. Because essentially what happened over here is, let's just use names. Reuven today is going to be our bad guy. I have nothing against anybody whose name is Reuven, but just for the sake of today, Reuven's going to be this guy who sells a field that doesn't belong to him. So he's essentially a goslin. He goes to a field, he sells it, doesn't belong to him, and now Shimon gives Reuven money. But between me and you, when Shimon gives Reuven money for that field, it's a loan. It's not a sale, because Reuven had no permission, had no ability to sell that field that doesn't belong to him. So when Shimon gives him money, he's essentially lending him that money for the field. Now when Reuven's going to return that money to Shimon, he's paying up his loan. Because again, the fact that there was a transaction of some property over here is irrelevant. That property has nothing to do with Reuven, has nothing to do with Shimon. The whole story was a farce. So therefore, essentially, Reuven borrowed money from Shimon. Now, if Reuven's going to pay Shimon back the principal of what he lent him, plus the amount of money that he caused Shimon to invest in the field that doesn't belong to him, it's going to look like ribbis. It's not really ribbis, because it's not really a loan, but it's going to look like ribbis because, essentially, Shimon lent Reuven, let's just use an argument of $1,000, and he invested another $100 into the field. He's going to be paying back $1,100 for the $1,000 loan that he took, and that will look like ribbis. That's Shmuel's opinion. Now, yesterday, the Gemara, again, at the end of yesterday's shiur, Gemara was trying to bring a riot to this. We're going to do it again just because there are multiple ways of explaining this, and if I'm not mistaken, the Rav only got through one of them, so therefore we're going to go through this riot again and then be able to go through all the different ways of explaining it. So we'll start today with the words Tashema, which is 2, 4, 6, about 12 lines, 13 lines from the bottom. Tashma, l'achilas peros ketzad. When it comes to achilas peros, which literally means a person who ate the fruit, Hare, the Gemara explains, Hare shegazal sada mechavero, a person stole a field from his friend, Hare hi yotze mitachas yada, and it's taken away from him. That's what's supposed to happen. He stole the field. Now it gets taken away from him. Kishehu gova, when he goes to collect the money, he is an undefined person at this point in time. Gova as a karim minchas mishubadim, he will collect the principal from minchas mishubadim, real property. Uperos, when it comes to collecting the peros, the fruit of the field, gova minchas b'necharin, he collects only from the assets that he has in front of him. So the Gemara says, Hey Chidami, what's this talking about? Ilema kidikatani, if it is exactly, literally as it's explained. So then that would mean that if a person steals a field and the field gets taken away from him, when the thief wants to recoup the money, then if he's collecting the principal, he goes to even property that has a lien. If he's collecting the peros, then he goes to only property that's available. The Gemara says, Gazlan miman gavi. Who are you collecting from? You're a ganav. You're a goslin. You don't have any right to collect anything. The field got taken away from you. Guess what? That's what's supposed to happen. You're a thief. You steal something. We take it away. Serves you right. You don't have the right to come back and now collect it. So that can't possibly be the case. It can't possibly be talking about the goslin himself who's going to recoup the money that he was taken away from him because he stole it. There'll be no logic in that. Elolav. So now what we're forced to say is, Kigon shegazal sada mechavero, it's talking about a person who stole a field from his friend. Now, what did he do after he stole it? Umachra li'achar, you sold it to another person. V'hishpicha. Now, the person who legitimately went and bought the field from the goslin, again, he doesn't have to know the guy's a goslin, I put up a sign in front of the house, or in front of the field, for sale, he went there, he bought the property legitimately, he paid for it. Turns out the field was stolen. So now, before he actually found out that the field that he bought was a stolen field, v'ishpicha, he improved the property. So now, clearly, what are we talking about? A regular guy bought a field from a goslin, and what does it say? It's talking about collecting both the principal and the improvement, and the investments into the field. So this is clearly not like Shmuel. Shmuel says when you go to recoup your money, you only get to recoup the principal, but not the investment. But this says clearly that both the principal and the investment can be collected. It's just a matter of where you're able to collect the investment from. Amar Rava, Rava explains that this is not going to be a question on Shmuel, because Hacha b'mayaskina, what are we talking about in this case? The person stole the field from his friend, but it was Malaya Peros. The time that he stole it, it was full of fruit. V'achal esa peros, and he ate up all the fruit. V'chafar baboros sichinum aros. So he did three things over here. First, he stole a field. That's number one. Then he ate lunch. He ate all the fruit that was growing over there. And then he went ahead and destroyed the field. So there's three problems over here. The stolen property, the eaten lunch, and the ruined property. So now, Bud Nigzal, now the guy, the victim of the theft, comes to collect from the goslin. Bud Nigzal Ligvos Karen, Govin Mechas Mishubadim. He could go ahead and collect from the goslin, even from properties that he subsequently sold. Bud Nigzal Ligvos Peros. He wants to collect the fruit that were on the trees that were eaten by this thief, Govin Mechas Mishubadim. That's something he's only allowed to collect from free properties. That means he can go to the properties of the goslin, but he can't go to properties that were sold. And that's the way the case is going to work out. Now, Rabba Barav Huna Amar, Rabba Barav Huna says, could go for example, Shenatlua Masikin. What happened over here? The thief stole it, but then thieves sometimes hang around other thieves. Perhaps he was part of a gang, and you know, it would make sense. His behavior is in line with such behavior. So he goes ahead, he steals a field, and then other thugs came and said, oh, look at that thief, he's got some property. Let's take it from him. He probably owes us money from something else. So the thief has the field stolen by thugs who are taking this field. Now, we learned about this Gemara previously, Masechet Bava Kamma, top of Tesvav Amud Aleph. Now, the halacha is, Bon Nigzal, the legitimate owner of this field, comes, Ligvos Karen, he wants to collect the principal. Where does he collect that from? Gobon Michasim Mishubadim. That's where he collects from Michasim Mishubadim. He collects from even properties that were sold. Bon Nigzal, the same person, he comes, Ligvos Peros, he wants the fruit of his field. Gobon Michasim Nichorin, he cannot go to fields or to property that was sold. You can only go to property that's available. What's the reason for this? The reason for this is, as we explained many times, the reason why a person can go to a buyer of the property is because there's usually going to be some type of rumors or information that's available about this. If a field is stolen, there's information about it. Now, when it comes to a case like this, for Peros, there's not going to be that type of call. People won't know about it, so therefore, the buyer of those peros is not going to be responsible for it. So now the Gemara wants to know, why did Rava and Rabbi Bar Avuna have to give two different explanations? Why couldn't they both agree on what the explanation was? In other words, it's not like they're arguing about a particular halacha. They're just both making a different case. So what was the point in the argument? The Gemara says, Rava lo omer karaba, Rava doesn't say like, sorry, Rava lo omer karaba Bar Avuna, Rava does not want to establish the case like Rava Bar Avuna. Why? Because Harehi Yotze Mitachas Yado. It says in the case, Harehi Yotze Mitachas Yado, that's an expression we always use to explain that Bedina Mashma. It was taken away because it was supposed to be taken away. Yotze Mitachas Yado means it was confiscated. You know why it was confiscated? Because the person's a thief. He took a field that doesn't belong to him, and the Beis Din said, get out! This is not yours. That's what Harei Yotz Mitachas Yado means. Not that thugs came and took it. Why would you establish the case? We're talking about a case where thugs took it away from him. Therefore, he does not want to establish the case that way. Rabba Bar Avuna lo Amar Karava. Rabba Bar Avuna did not want to establish the case like Rava, where it was talking about where he ruined the field. It sounds like he's taking the field back in the same way that he took it. Not that he's taking back a field that's all ruined with all kinds of ditches dug into it where it has to be repaired. Rav Ashi gives another explanation. Rav Ashi Amar Litzdadin Katani. Rav Ashi says this entire case was Litzdadin. That means that there's two different aspects to the case. When we read it, it was read as one long line, which is, if you want to collect the actual principal, you go to Nechasim Meshubadim. You want to collect the Peros, you go to Nechasim B'nei Chorin. Rav Ashi says you have to divide that. Let's divide it. Kegon Shegazal Sadam Echavero. Person stole a field from his friend. And that field was Malaya Peros, full of fruit. V'achal Saperos, he ate up all the fruit. And he sold the field. So now, Bolokeach, Ligvos, Karen, the Lokeach ultimately loses the field. So again, there's Reuven is a thief. He steals a field. He sells it to Shimon. Now, in between stealing the field and selling it to Shimon, he also ate up all the fruit. So now, Shimon ultimately buys this field and finds that it gets taken away from him. So the Gemara says, Balokeach, if the Lokeach comes to recoup his money, Ligvos Karen, Govim Nechas Mishubadim. He could collect even from sold properties. But Nigzal, Ligvos Peros, the actual victim of this crime, comes to collect his Peros that were eaten, Govim Nechas Mishubadim, he collects from Nechas Mishubadim, he only collects from what's available. Okay, that's how Rav Ashi explains the case. In other words, it has nothing to do with what Shmuel said. It has nothing to do with recouping the principal and the investment. It's not that. It's not about that. It's just two different people coming to collect. Now the Gemara says, hold on a second. Bein la Rava. Whether it's Rava or Rabba, we're talking about a case where the person is coming to recoup the money from the gazlan. Now, generally speaking, when people steal, they don't write contracts for the theft. They just take it. And therefore, the Gemara says, Bein l'rava barafuna, milval pehu. This ultimately ends up being a case of a verbal loan. There's no contract for it. The halacha is, whenever you have a verbal agreement, you can't collect from properties that were sold. Like we explained earlier, the only justification to go to a buyer and to take the property away from him and say, hey, there was a lien on this property, is if the buyer had some way of knowing that there was a lien. Nowadays, we have databases. You could research properties. But back then, the only way to know is if people knew about it. Now, when there's a contract that's written, the contract leaves a paper trail, people find out about it. And therefore, it's the responsibility of the person buying property to be able to research and find out if there's a contract written about it. But when there's a verbal loan, how are you supposed to know about a verbal conversation that took place between two people? There's no way to corroborate it. There's no way to back it up. It's just between two people. Therefore, in those cases, you can't collect from property that was sold after that transaction. In this case, it's talking about theft. Theft, there's no contract that's written. So why are we saying that you can go to Nechas Meshubadim, you can go to property that was sold afterwards? The Gemara says, what we're talking about in this case is Kishamad Bedin. He already took him to Beis Din. Vahadar Zavin. The guy had a real chutzpah. He was taken to Beis Din. The Beis Din paskin, he has to go ahead and return it. What did he do? Got him from Beis Din and sold the property. So that's why he can go ahead and collect Nechas Meshubadim. The Gemara says, hold on a second. That's what happened. Remember, we're talking about a Gazan over here who stole a field, ate the fruit, and then sold it. So now if they went to Beis Din already, he probably charged him also for the fruit that he ate. And if he charged him for the fruit that he ate, he should be able to pay back. He should be able to go back to the property that was sold. If we're talking about a case where Beis Din already issued a psak, peros nami. He should also be able to collect the value of the fruit that was eaten. The Gemara says, "Kishamar bedin ala karen, lo amar bedin ala peros." He took him to Beis Din for the principle of what was stolen, but not for the fruit that was eaten. The Gemara says, "Amai pasco? Why would that happen? Why would you make up such a case? Why would you have a case where he took him to Beis Din for only the principle, not the fruit that he was eating?" The Gemara says, "Stama denosa kitava inish karna tava bereisha." The most important thing, what's the first thing on his mind? It's the value of his property. The property is something which stays forever. He always has the ability to be able to plant in it and use it. That's the first thing he's going to take a person to Beis Din for. He'll open up a subsequent case later for the fruit that was stolen. But the first thing on his mind is the Karen is the principle. Now the Gemara says, V'savar Shmuel lokeach migazlan lesle shvacha. Are you actually telling me that Shmuel is of the opinion that a person buys a field from a thief that he does not have the ability to recoup his investment? That was Shmuel's original statement. Again, in yesterday's Amud, that was a statement. If a person buys a field from a gazlan, he wants to recoup his money, he gets to recoup the principal, but not the investments. The problem is, says the Gemara, V'amarle Shmuel Rav Chinan Bar Shilas. Shmuel himself, with Tarav Chinan Bar Shilas, he was a scribe, he was a sofer, he would write contracts. Imlach, you should ask the person, V'kasav and write, Shofra, Shivcha, Uperi. And when a person buys a field, that he should write in the contract that if anything goes wrong, he wants the seller to reimburse him or to replace the sale with shofra, with the best possible property instead, shivcha, the investment that he made into it, uperi, and for the fruits. So Shmuel would constantly tell those he would tell the scribe to write that in the contract that it could be replaced. So clearly, he's telling him he could recoup the value of the investment. The Gemara goes on to explain this. B'mai, what might that contract be talking about? Let's take the easiest case, which won't pose a problem for Shmuel. Ibe Balchov, if that contract was a Balchov of someone who lent money, so then, again, what is that talking about? That's talking about a case where a Balchov, a person, lent money to someone else, wrote a contract, and he said, if I can't get the money back from you, I'll go to your field. Now, if that's what it was talking about, and he added into the contract that he gets all those things in the field, meet Isle Peri, it's just not true. A Balchov does not get the fruit of the field, he gets just the principle. V'amar Shmuel Balchov goves HaShevach. A Balchov collects the investment, but that's Shevach in, Avol Peros Lo. You don't get to eat the fruit of the field, you don't get to collect that. Elalav. So it must be when he was telling the scribe to write all those conditions in, V'lokeach Migazlan. He must have been talking about a person who's buying a field, potentially from a thief. Again, you can never really know for sure that when a person's selling you property, the guy's not a thief. You have to plan just in case the person's selling you the Brooklyn Bridge. That's what we do in all contracts. There's tons and tons of language in there to prevent any foreseeable circumstance. So one of the things you would say is, if it turns out that the property that you're selling me is not yours, I want you to be able to replace the field with shufra, a good field, and replace all my investments that I'm going to put into it and all the fruit that I lose. But clearly, Shmuel was telling him to add that into the contract that he could recoup his investment. Amar Rav Yosef, Hachamai Eskinan, what are we talking about in this case? Kigon Sheyesh Lo Karka. We're talking about a case where the seller is not going to be replacing it with money. When did Shmuel say you don't have to replace the investment? That's when you are reimbursing him for the sale and for the money that he invested. In this case, it's Sheyesh Lo Karka. He's just giving you another piece of karka. In such a case, there's no problem with ribis. Remember, the problem that Shmuel had with reimbursing him for the investment that he made was that, as we explained at the beginning of today's shiur, is that it looks like a loan because he sold him the Brooklyn Bridge. So how do you justify the monetary transfer? It's a loan. So he's repaying him $1,100 instead of $1,000. But if he's giving him karka, he's giving him land, there's no problem there because there's no monetary transaction, which makes it look like ribis. Hold on a second. There is an issur midrabanan of ribis to borrow sabasa, which is to borrow a specific amount and promise to return that exact amount. Why? Because the value of that product might change in the middle. This would be drabanan. So the same thing should be true over here. Person has karka, so he's replacing the karka, but ultimately he's giving him more money worth. More money's worth. Amarle hasam halva. You're right. Sabasa, the prohibition of borrowing a specific amount and returning a specific amount is relevant when it's really a loan. Hachazvini. Remember, in this case, it looks like ribis, but ultimately the truth of the matter is it's just a sale. Yikad Amri, others say, Amar Rav Yosef, Hacha Mayaskina, what's this talking about? Kigon Shekanu Miyato. What's this talking about? This is not talking about a case where he's just simply paying him back. But it means at the time that the sale happened, at that moment, he already made a kinyan on the potential transfer of this property. So therefore, the kinyan happened all the way back at the beginning before he even found out that the guy was a thief. Amli Abaya Vachimoto, Livel Sabasab, Bakam Shekanu Miyato. Are you allowed to do that? Can you create some type of loan where you're going to lend a saw for a saw when you make a kinyan in advance? It's not going to work. It's still a problem. Umar says the same tarot, you're right. If you're actually talking about a bona fide loan where you're lending something, so you can't just circumvent the isser by saying, I'll make the kinyan right now. However, in our case, we don't think the guy's going to have to pay it back. This is just in case it turns out that you're a thief. But he thinks he's actually buying something. It's a sale. Turns out in hindsight, there was no sale, and in hindsight, it looked like a loan, but that's not where Chazal made their prohibition. The Gemara goes on. Two dots. Gufa. We learn, Amar Shmuel, Balchov, a creditor, Govas HaShevach, he's able to collect the Shevach, the improvements to the property. Amar Rava. Rava said, I could bring a raya to that. Teda, Shekach Kosev Lo, this is what's normally written. When a person sells someone else a field, he writes the following into the document. So it's a very long, flowery line where he says, "Ana ikum va'ashfi va'adki va'amrik zavini ilun inun va'amleyun v'shabcheyon." A lot of language where he ultimately tells him that I'm going to take responsibility. Rashi says, "Ashfi is I'll make it look nice. V'idki I'm going to cleanse myself from any problem that come up. Inun v'amleyin v'shabcheyon, and ultimately I take responsibility from everything. Everything that you're going to ultimately put into this all investments you make into the property, and then v'ekim kadamak v'tzavi zavini dinan v'kabal aloi. The Edom ultimately stand by and they testify that he accepted upon himself all these responsibilities. So clearly all this flowery language that's added into this document is there to be able to protect the investments that he's going to make. So Amale, Ruchia bar Oven l'Rava. Ruchia bar Oven said to Rava, El Miata, if that's the case, that when it comes to a creditor, he's able to collect the field and the investment because the contract has all that language in it. Elamiata matana de lokasivlehachi, a matana, when a person gives someone a field as a matana, ultimately the creditor, the bachov, will not be able to take all that property from it, I should say, all that investment from the recipient of the gift, because there's no doc, there's no shtar. People generally don't write a document or a shtar, a contract, on a gift. You give someone a gift, you give them a gift. It's not going to have all this flowery language. The flowery language is only going to be relevant if the person bought the field. The person buys the field, he wants to protect his purchase. So ultimately, all that is going to be included in the shtar. Now, what's the downside? The downside is that if a creditor comes to take it away, he gets to take away the field plus all the investment. However, there's no contract for a gift. So if a person is gifted a field, then a creditor comes. He can say, listen, I'm sorry that you got this gift. The problem just is the person who gave you the gift really owed me money. Therefore, I'm taking it away. But he won't be able to take the investment because all this language doesn't exist inside the contract. So it turns out that receiving a gift puts you in a better position than actually paying money to buy a field. So that's what his question is. If that's the case, when it comes to a gift, he doesn't write all this language, he won't be able to collect the investments into the field. Yes, in, it's true. The Gemara says, is receiving a gift put you into a better place? Is it more advantageous than actually buying something with money? In, with regard to this, it is indeed better. Amar of Nachman. Nachman says, Hamas Nisa, the following Mishnah is Messiah Lamar Shmuel, is going to back up Shmuel's opinion. Vahuna Chavrin, however, Huna, one of his rabbinic colleagues, Mukim Labamili Achrini, he understands this Mishnah differently. Ditanya, for it says in a Braisa, Hamocher Sadel Chavero, a person sells a field to his friend. Vaharehi Yotzi Mitachas Yado, and then it gets taken away from the buyer. So again, the person sold the field. Turns out that he sold on the Brooklyn Bridge. So therefore, he gets the field taken away from him. Now the halacha is, kishehu gova, when the lokeach, when the buyer, is going to collect gova sakarim in a chas mishubadim, he collects the principal from even properties that are on lien. V'shevach govim nechas v'nechorin, the investment into the property, he can't collect from the original person, he only from the buyer. He collects it only from available properties. For Huna Chavrin Mukim Lav Amelia Achrini, Huna, his colleague, established this, talking about something else. The Lokeach Megazim, talking about a case where he bought it from a Gazim. Natani Idach, let's continue. The Gemara is going to explain this. We learned another Brisa. Hamokar Sada Lachaver, a person sells a field to his friend. Vishbicha, and he improved it. Ubab Al Chov, and the creditor came along, Vitarfon, he grabbed it away. So again, a person buys a field, invests money into it, and then it gets taken away from a creditor. When he comes to collect, the Gemara says as follows. Im hashevach yeser yoser alitzia, if the amount of investment or improvement in the field exceeds the amount of investment. So again, if the amount of money that the field is now improved as a result of the work that he put into it is more than the expense that he expended on this field, then notel sashevach mi bal karka, he can take the shevach from the owner of the field, vayitzia mi bal chov, and the investment from the one who owes him from the creditor. V'im hayitzia, if he spent more money on the field, is seira al shevach, more than it actually improved. So let's say he invested $100 into the field, but the improvement was only, I don't know, $75 or $50. Ein lo ela hotza shir shevach. He's only able to collect the tangible value that it improved. Where does he get that from? Mi balchov, from the balchov who takes the field away from him. Now, the Gemara is going to explain. Vashmuel, when we're talking about Shmuel, v'may mukim lo. How does he understand this case? I belokach mi gazlon. If we're talking about a case where a person bought the fields from a gazlan, and that's why it's being taken away, because the sale was illegitimate, because there was the field was stolen, so kasha reisha. The beginning is a problem. Why? Domar Shmuel said, lokeach migazlan less le shvacha. If you buy something from a gazlan, you don't get any shevach. So what's this discussion about collecting shevach from the Chasa B'nei Chorin, you don't get the Shevach. You only get the actual money that you pay. Even Balchov, if we're talking about a Balchov, Kasha Reisha V'Seifa, both the beginning and the end are problematic. Why Damar Shmuel Balchov Goves HaShevach, he collects, he's able to collect the Shevach. The Gemara says, Yivayasim B'lokeach M'Gazlan, we could establish this case to be talking about what a person who buys from a thief, and how will we understand it? Again, like we said earlier, that he's not actually collecting cash as a replacement for his bad purchase. He's actually getting replaced in karka here. Inami kibishikanu miyado, talking about a case where he actually made this kinyan in advance. Like we said earlier in the top half of today's summit. If you want, we can explain this. We're talking about the Balchov by a creditor. Velo kasha, and it's not going to be difficult. We're not going to have the problem of collecting the shevach because kan the shevach hamagia top of tesvava mudbeis hamagia l'kasafayim. And kan the shevach she'en hamagia l'kasafayim. Basically, shevach hamagia l'kasafayim is Rashi explains karov likatzer. So there are some plants you could do. You could plant them, and they are completely unripe. They're not ready. They're just basically at a premature stage. And then you have peros, which are ready to be picked. And then you have hamagia l'kasafayim, which means they've started to grow. They're very close to being ready to be ripe, but they're not ripe yet. In that case, says Rashi, el shadayin tzrichin l'karka, they still need some nutrition from the karka. Havalu k'peros gemurin ve'en balchov gova osim b'lo yitziah. That's the case we're talking about, where he can't collect it unless there was investment. Gemara says, but hold on. These things happen all the time. We have stories where Shmuel would collect even from this type of benefit. Gemara says, lokasha. You have to analyze Shmuel's psak very closely. That was talking about a case where the amount of money that was owed was equal to the land. And vishvacha. In other words, the amount of money that was owed was the masak bay kishir ara vishvacha. The guy who was owed money was owed a lot of money. So therefore, when he was collecting the field and the improvements. Hadalo masik bay el kashir ara. This is talking about a case where he was only owed the amount of the property. The improvements exceed the actual principal of the loan. So the yavle shivchei umisalikle, he has to actually give him the benefit, and then once he pays him for the benefit, then he could misalikle, he could tell the guy to get out of the field. Because until then, he could say, listen, the guy owes you $1,000. This piece of property is worth $1,000. But the shevach, the fruit is worth more. You don't get that. No one owes you that amount of money. So he has to pay him that amount of money, and then he can tell him to get off the field. Gemara says, Hani chalaman do amar, isle zuzi lokeach, lo matzi misalik le. That makes a lot of sense, according to the one who says that if the lokeach has money, he's not able to kick him out of the field. Lo matzi misalik le lebachov, shapir. So I just read a lot of Gemara. I'll explain it outside. There's machlokas. What happens when this balchov comes to the buyer and says to him, "Listen, I've got some unfortunate news for you. I know you bought this piece of property. I know you worked very hard on it. I know you're very excited about it. The problem is, you bought it from a person who owes me money. And this property was on lien, so therefore, I'm going to take it away from you." What if that lokeach says, "You know what? This property is very dear to me. It's in a location where I like it. I worked very hard on it. How much money does the guy owe you? He owes you $1,000? I'll give you $1,000. Can he do that? Or does he not have the right to do that? So the Gemara has two different opinions. That's the man, the Amar, Isle Zuzi Lokeach, Lo Matzi Misalik Le Balchov. That's the case, that's one opinion. That even if you have money, you can't tell the Balchov to get lost, because ultimately, he has a lien on the property, he has rights to the property before you, and therefore, if he wants it, he can take it. The other opinion is, listen, what are you owed? Money. You're only coming here because you're not getting your money, so I'll take care of you by giving you your money. Now, the Gemara makes the following calculation. If you're of the opinion that the buyer can get rid of the creditor by saying, "I'll pay up the loan," so then why doesn't this guy say to him, "Listen, if I had money, I would just tell you to get lost. right? Because I'd pay you up. It happens to be I'm a little disadvantaged. I don't have any money to pay you up. So you're taking my land. But can't we work something out? He says, Hashta, the less li zuzi, now that I don't have any money, havli garva da ara ba'ara shir svachai. At least leave me a small piece of property. That's the value of the amount that I put into it. In other words, the only thing that I owe you is money. So why is it that because I don't have cash, I should lose more money than that? Leave me a small piece of property, which is the value of the investment that I made. This is talking about a case where everybody would agree that you can't use money to buy it off because, as we mentioned previously in other Masechtos, there's a concept called apotiki. Apotiki is really, it's a compound of a number of words, which is apotahe kai, which is sometimes when a person writes a loan and he wants there to be some type of collateral, some type of responsibility to back up that loan, what he's going to do is he's actually going to write a very specific field. He'll say, I'm borrowing $1,000 from you, and I will pay you back this money by a certain period of time. And if I don't pay you back, then this specific piece of property is going to be the property used to pay you back. So it's not just that he has assets that you can go collect from, that there's a lien on, but there's a very specific piece of property that was designated as the property that will be used to pay back the loan. In such a case, everybody agrees you can't just buy your way out because you bought a piece of property that essentially belongs to somebody else. The Gemara goes on now and talks about, up until now we talked about a case where a person bought property legitimately. He bought property. Someone had a sign said for sale by owner. He went ahead, bought the piece of property, and then ultimately to his dismay he found out that the property wasn't really legitimately owned by the seller, and therefore he finds himself owning a piece of property that's not his. How about hikir ba she'eino shalom? The buyer knew that the seller was a thief. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes when you talk to somebody and he's about to sell you something, you just know this guy is not legit. So this guy knew that he was buying a piece of property from a thief. Vilakha, he bought it anyway. Amar Rav, Rav says, Ma'os yeshlo, shevach einlo. He could still go back and get the money from the seller, from the thief. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, filo ma'os einlo. You can't even recoup your money. The money is gone. You bought a field that you knew was stolen, then you can't get your money back. Gemara says, the Maikimifugi. What is the subject of this machlokas? In other words, what's the point that they're arguing about? Rav Savar, Rav says, Adam Yodea Shikarka Ein Lo, V'gomar V'nosin L'shun Pikado. In other words, you have to get into the psychological understanding of this person. What's going on in his mind? Person knows that he's buying a field that is not his. There's a thief. The guy selling it is a thief. So you can't buy something from a thief because the thief doesn't own it. Karka ain't an exalus, really. And essentially what that means is there's always an owner to it. It could always be taken back. So when you buy karka, buy real estate from a thief, you know you're not really buying the karka. You know it's not yours. You know it's not his. You know the whole thing is a farce. So why are you giving money to this person? So the Gemara says, Rav is under the understanding that when he gives the money to him, he's just really giving him a deposit to hold on to for him. So the Gemara says, V'neimelech l'shem pikadon. Why go through all this? Why don't you just say, listen, I'd like you to hold on to $1,000 from me. I'll come get it in 2 months. The Gemara says, Savalom kabel. He thinks the guy's not going to take responsibility for it. So why would anybody just voluntarily want to hold on to $1,000 for somebody? It's a big responsibility. So he goes through this shtick. He says, you know what? I'll buy this piece of property from you. He knows that later on the real owner is going to come get it. And he'll say, oh, by the way, the property was taken away because it was stolen. Can I have my $1,000 back? And he'll get his $1,000. Shmuel Savar. Shmuel says, Adam Yodei Shekarka Ein Lo. Everybody understands. Again, there's no machlokas about this. Everybody understands you can't buy a piece of property that's stolen. However, v'gomar v'nasan l'shematana, nevertheless, he was giving this gift of $1,000 to the thief as a gift. So v'nemerle b'shematana, why doesn't he just tell him, here, I'd like to give you a gift of $1,000. What's this whole shtick of buying the field and giving him all the money? Give him $1,000. Gemara says, Ksifle mils. He knows he's too embarrassed to take money. People don't like to take money from other people. Gemara says, all right, you know, actually, we already had this machlokas in one other place. So if that's really what's going on here, so then why do they have to have this machlokas here? They discussed it somewhere else. Where the itmar, we learned, hamakadesh sachos, a person is makadesh his sister. Now everybody knows you can't marry your sister. But a person nonetheless goes over to his sister and says, hareyach mekadesh asli b'tabas zu, or with this money. It's Rav Amar Mos Chozer. Rav says he can eventually get the money back. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Mos Matana, the money is a gift to his sister. Now Rav Amar Mos Chozrin, why does Rav say that he can get the money back from his sister? Because everybody, Adam Yodeash Ein Kedushin Tosim Bechoso, everybody knows you can't marry your sister. V'gomar v'naslan shupikadon. Nevertheless, he gave her the money as just a deposit that she'll hold on to him, hold on to for him. Gemara says, V'neim Allah l'shupikadon. Just tell her, listen, my dear sister, can you hold on to this $1,000 for me? I'll be back in a week to collect it. Savar lo, Gemara says, he doesn't say that. What? Because Savar lo makabel minei. She's going to say, no, go to the bank, put it someplace else. Don't ask me to hold on to it for you. So therefore, he pulls the shtick and says, Hare HaMekadesh Asli. She gets a little excited, and she holds on to it, and then later on, he gets it back. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Mos matana, the money is a gift. Why? Because Adam Yodei Hashem Kedushin Tosim Bechel. So the same thing. Everybody knows you can't marry your sister. He's giving this money to her as a gift. Gemara says the same thing. Why doesn't he just be honest with her? Say, listen, my dear sister, I love you so much. You're the best sister in the world. Here's $1,000. Gemara says the same. She's going to be too embarrassed. She doesn't want to accept money from her brother. So now, why do we have to have both these cases? It's exactly the same. Both cases are exactly the same. A person knows the transaction is illegitimate. You can't buy a field that's stolen. You can't be mekadesh your sister. So Rav and Shmuel have exactly the same machlokas in two different cases. Marzah Tzricha, we have to have both cases. Di itmar baha, if you only had one, baha kama Rav, d'lavi di'inish di'ov matanos l'nukhra. When talking about a field, people don't usually just give a $1,000 gift to a random stranger, especially a thief. So therefore, he wanted to repeat it in that case. Avagabi achos, when it comes to his sister, maybe he'll agree to Shmuel, that it's very normal to give your sister a gift, a birthday present. So therefore, he had to say it again to say that no, even when it comes to his sister, I say it's pikadon. The iyat marbahach, we're only going to say it by the case of the sister, bahach kamar Shmuel, avavaha emamodil rav. Maybe Shmuel is of the opinion that it's going to be a gift when it comes to a sister, by a sister, but not by the thief. Okay, emamodil rav will agree to rav. Tzricha, therefore, we have to have both. Now the Gemara says, bein l'rav damar pikadon, bein l'shmuel damar matana. Whether it's we're following Rav's opinion or Shmuel's opinion, that the way we'll explain this money over here is either as a gift or as a deposit, we have a problem. Because hai l'ara b'mai kanachis uperos hechi achil. Everybody knows, in other words, both Rav and Shmuel stated very clearly that this guy knows, and he knows very well, that he has no business buying this field. It's stolen. The whole premise is, he knows the field is stolen. Nevertheless, he buys the stolen field. So very nice. It sounds very good and academic to have a discussion about what happens with the money that was transferred for the stolen field. But sir, you're trespassing. Get off the field. Why are you planting there? Why are you eating the fruits? It's not your field. What heter do you have to go in there before the guy comes to get it back? It's not yours. The Gemara says, Savar, ana echas la'ara, the avid ve'echel begave kechi devik ka'avid iu. In other words, the field was stolen. So just like the guy who stole it was going in the field and planting in it, so I'm taking his place. In other words, I'm not any worse than the thief. The actual owner's not here. It was stolen. This guy's a squatter. He moved in. He's planting in the field. He's eating the fruits. Why am I any worse than the thief? When the guy comes to get it, I'll get out. When the owner of the field comes, Zuzi Navi will work it out with some money. In other words, he recognizes that it's not his, but he says, I'm not any worse than this. Now, L'Rav Damar Pikadon, The smaller matana, matana will deal with the money at a later point in time. Our Amar Rava. Now Rava puts like a capstone on this on the last few amudim we're talking about. Hilchasa, what's the halacha? Yesh lo mos, v'yesh lo shevach. Not like Shmuel. When a person comes to recoup the money, he gets the money that he paid for it, and he gets the investment that he invested into it. Even though he didn't clearly stipulate it. Hikir ba she'ena shelo, in the case where he knew that it wasn't his, v'lakha, he bought it anyway, mos, yesh lo shevach elo, he gets his money back, he does not get the investments. And we also paskin, achrayus tal sofer. This was in yesterday's Gemara, achrayus, which means, if a person forgets, if the sofer does not write in a loan document that you can go ahead and collect from real property, we assume that to be just a simple printing mistake. And Bein b'shtari alva, bein b'shtari megachom emkar. Makes no difference whether it's a loan document or a sale. Bamine Shmuel mi Rav. Shmuel asks the following question from Rav. Chazar v'lokcha mi b'aylam harishonim mahu. Getting back to this case of a thief. Reuven's the thief. He steals it and then sells it to Shimon. Okay, now, after he sells it to Shimon, now the thief, he's a smart guy. He goes back to the original owner of the field. Let's just call him Yehuda. He says, Yehuda, I'm so sorry. I stole your field from you. I'd like to buy it from you. So Yehuda's like, you know what? Thank you for coming back. I appreciate that you're here to buy it. So he buys it from him. Now the goslin goes back to the seller. He goes to Shimon and says, hey, get out of here. This field was stolen. You had no right to buy it. I'm taking it back. Can you do that or not? A really smart ganav. He stole the field first. He sold it. He knew that the original owner could take it away from Shimon. Now he says, you know what? I'm going to become the original owner. I'm going to go buy it off the original owner, and then I'm going to show up and say, what are you doing here? This field was stolen. You had no right to buy this field, and I'll take it away from you. So now, Arale, ma machar lo rishon l'sheni. When a person sells something to someone else, what do they sell? Kol zechos shetavo liyado. When you sell a field to somebody, you're not just giving him partial rights to it. You're selling everything that you can ultimately have in this field. So that what he's essentially saying is, any rights you'll eventually get to this field, you sold to me. So even if you go buy it, I still get to keep it. My time up. What's the reason for that? Marzutra says, Nichalei delo nikraya gazlana. People don't want to be called a thief. Ravashi says, Nichalei de lake of Emnusa. People want to be believed. Therefore, people sell the field with all future rights that will come with it. My bina, what's the difference? Whether it's because he doesn't want to be called a thief or because he wants to have his name intact. In other words, he wants to be considered trustworthy. He could be now demis. The guy died. Demis lokeach. If the buyer died. So man, the Amar Nichle, the credit guy's law to the person who says he doesn't want to be called a thief. Well, Hamisle, the guy's dead. So what does he care? He wants to still have his word intact with the Yarshin. Gemara says, so, what's the difference? Karle b'nei lokeach, gazlana. The children will still call him a thief. So it makes no difference. El ikibanao, it must be talking about the miss gazlan, that the actual gazlan died, not the lokeach. Manda amar nichle delinish lokeach gazlana. The ones who say the reason why he sells everything, all his future rights, because doesn't want to be called a gazlan, hamesle. Guy's dead. Salman Dhamar Nikhle Talika Bemnusa, he wants to still be trustworthy. Hachanami Alphagav the miss, even though he's dead, Nikhle Talika Bemnusa, people still want to have a good name after they're gone. So if the Gemara says, Kakarli the Bani, Bene Gazlana. People are gonna call his children, oh, you guys are the son of the Gazlan, the guy who steals fields and sells it. Allah Ikibinayu must be the difference between the two opinions is the Yav of Matana, where he didn't sell it, but rather he gave it as a gift. People want to give gifts and say he gave a gift, you can actually keep it. It's not like an Indian giver who gives a gift, you have to take it back. Doesn't want to be called a gazlan. I didn't steal anything from you. I gave you a gift. You know, maybe it didn't work out, but ultimately you can't call me a thief. We'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day.